Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. And today, we're going to talk a little bit about preventative umpiring versus coaching. So what do we even mean by that, David?
Well, coaching is, you know, telling somebody, hey, you're doing this wrong. I'm not calling you on it, you know, but...
So you as the umpire. So we're not talking about things that umpires do versus coaching personnel do.
Right.
We mean coaching from the umpiring position.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And so... Because preventative umpiring is a thing. We talk about preventative umpiring, and then some are like, well, is that actually preventative umpiring, or, you know, are we providing a disadvantage to the other team because we help this team not break the rules or something like that?
Yeah, right? Because the rules specifically account for and allow for certain scenarios to happen which have a penalty. And by us interjecting ourselves and allowing the coach not to do it, depending on what it is and when, or the player not to do it, is that did we create an unfair advantage when the other team could have gotten by from the person's inexperience or or a brain cramp?
And I would say, Pete, that some of these are that we're going to talk about today. Some of them are, that's definitely preventative umpiring, and some of them are, oh my, that's definitely coaching. And then others, there's a little bit of a gray area there. And so we'll try to talk through like our thoughts on how we navigate that gray area and what we do in these particular situations.
Yeah. And in this case, we got our interns on it. And so we have a list of scenarios here that I'm going to read through, and we're going to talk about whether or not this is coaching or preventative umpiring, according to us, and what we've seen, according to some other experts as well.
So this is a really good opportunity for our listeners to come at us, right?
Yep.
Like, oh, you're wrong about that, David.
Exactly. And so the first scenario that comes up is, number one, checking fielder positioning before the pitch, saying something like, first base, you need to be in fair territory. This will avoid a legal pitch situation in violation of Rule 611 and saves you from having to enforce the rule later.
I believe that to be coaching, Pete. I think that the rule is there. The offense is going to be disadvantaged if you coach the defense to get into position before the pitch comes. I think they should learn it, but the offense should be also be awarded that illegal pitch opportunity. And I think it would be coaching to do it any other way.
So do you frame that answer differently if you're working an 8U rec ball game or 10U or some other level versus high school, college?
Yes, I would say absolutely. Really good point. Level of coaching versus preventative umpiring has to do with the experience of both the players and the coaches, probably.
Yeah. So where do you draw that line? Is it a feel? Like, is there some kind of rule we can give our listeners that says, here's when maybe these kind of things. So, it is still coaching, but when it might be appropriate for it to come from the umpire. Yep.
So for me, it would be summer ball and the younger teams. So I would say maybe 14U and under, 12U and under, maybe 14U is probably getting there. Those are high school kids.
Yeah, they could be high school varsity players.
So 12U, 10U, 8U, more coaching than that. So for sure, I would say, hey, pitcher, make sure that all of your people are in fair territory. Or catcher, make sure your people are in fair territory before you squat down there and let your pitcher pitch.
Yeah.
You're the one that can see them.
Yep.
You might want to check. Look at your right fielder catch, you know, that kind of thing, right?
With that caveat then, we're also going to say, so then for the rest of these, we're going to be assuming we're talking high-level softball.
Yeah, that's right. And when we say high-level, it's something that's under I don't want to say under a sanction, because certainly, you know, my favorite sanction in the world is the USA sanction, right? And the NCAA sanction and the NFHS sanction. But I would say definitely high school ball and college ball, you know, these things are recorded. Right. They're recorded and kept. There's a record of them, you know, that's on the school website, that kind of thing, and reported in the newspaper. Right.
Heck, the state association keeps track of who did the most of certain things based on what you've done.
Yeah.
So if you counted a home run every time somebody bunted the ball back to the pitcher or something.
That's right. So I think for me, it's, if they're high school games or college games, we're not going to do as much coaching as we're going to do preventative umpiring. But at the younger ages, we're helping them to learn the game a little bit as well. We have one of our Central Ohio umpires loves to umpire 8, 10, 12U and does all kinds of coaching.
Yeah.
Right? And she loves that part of that aspect of the job, but she has to be very careful not to do that in the high school and the NCAA world.
Yep. Okay. So all those caveats given. Here's number two. Giving verbal reminders for pitching rules. Make sure both feet are on the pitcher's plate, or watch that pause, make it distinct.
Yeah, I think an illegal pitch, if you want to coach, so here's one of those gray ones. If you want to coach that a little bit, notice that the pitch is a ball coming in and not going to get swung at.
Yeah.
And throw the hand out and say illegal. And then after the play is over, right, everybody's done. You walk out to the pitcher and you say, I had you for an illegal pitch there. It was a ball anyway, so the effect was fine. So you didn't hurt her, right?
Yeah.
You didn't turn a strike into a ball, but you let her know that it was illegal. And I think you read something from Referee Magazine.
Yep, I was going to bring that to there. And that's and the important, too, I just want to clarify right before I read this, to what you said, the distinction that you've got there for what you said is you could just go illegal and then ball, and then it's a ball, and so like next pitch. You did not then explain why it was illegal without being asked. Some people might ask. The coach might say, Blue, why did you have her illegal there? And then you might say, but by you go proactively going out and doing that, that does become preventative umpiring.
A little bit. At least makes her know how she got in trouble.
Yeah. So you still call the pitch. You still enforce the rule, had the pitch been anything else. But what we got from the Referee Magazine article here is this is actually a similar titled thing where it's the difference between preventative umpiring and coaching from back in 2021. I like this guideline they put. So they said for illegal pitches, if an umpire notices a pitcher pitching illegally during her warm-up pitches, preventative umpiring allows for the umpire to slyly brush off the pitcher's plate and notify her what she's doing wrong. In this situation, an umpire should not be having a long conversation or announcing to the entire ballpark what the pitcher's doing wrong. And then once the ball becomes live, the time for prevention is over, and an umpire should call the pitcher illegal if she continues to pitch illegally.
Yep. So along these pitching lines too, I think in this gray space about when there is gray, one of the things that all of the sanctions and any of the clinicians that I've talked with about this in the recent past for sure have been about, you don't guess at illegal pitches, right? You give the benefit of the doubt to the pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has to be really an illegal pitch. And one of the things that I think we guess at some is, and now in all sanctions, you can actually take the sign off the rubber, right? So we had a season where in the NCAA, you had to be on the rubber to take the sign. And so you that eliminated the quick pitch, right? So, but now it's legal in all of the sanctions. You can actually take the sign off the rubber. And then when you step on the rubber, you still have to pause, simulate taking the sign, whatever, right? And that pause, especially in the high school world, I'm noticing here anyway, my own personal experience this year, in the high school world, that pause can be 3/4 of a second.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a second and a quarter, you know, 1,001. Is that how long does it take to get it? And, you know, and if you're a pitcher, you may have grabbed the ball in your fastball grip and the pitcher, you know, or the catcher called a, you know, drop curve. And so now I got to adjust my grip. That's going to be definite pause, right? I mean, there's no question you're definitely taking the sign and pausing or whatever. But it's like, oh man, she's kind of quick, but not really quick. So here's some preventative umpiring then to say the next time the catcher comes out to say, hey, remind her that she has to pause and act like she's taking the sign. Getting close, right? She's kind of getting close. And I think along those same, I think that's okay. I do. I think that's okay. And then along the same lines where we've got 60 seconds in high school between innings, we've got 90 seconds in college between innings. And if they're getting close, you know, but they haven't busted it, it's okay to tell the catcher, hey, speed your infield up. You guys are getting close. You're going to get called. We're trying to keep the game moving here. It's going to go. So I think those are okay. I really do. I think that the penalty for those aren't bad enough that, you know, you're really impacting the game. And the intent of the rule is to keep the game moving. And if the girls are close to that, and you say, hey, speed up a little bit, you know, let's go. Especially in high school with the 60 seconds and we don't have an actual clock on them.
Yeah.
There was some Facebook stuff about that too, where some assigners are telling people to take a stopwatch out on the thing. I'm like, that goes against what NFHS says. So I'm asking assigners, please don't do that. If your state association decides to do it, go for it. But we shouldn't do that at the umpire level, you know, to say we're gonna go above and beyond the rules and, you know, and the mechanics and, you know, the application of them. So please don't do that.
I think that becomes very important then at the high school level to do what you said there. Anything that seems to be a judgment on the umpire's part, which in that case, even though 60 seconds is a definitive time marker with no clock, it is kind of your judgment of what 60 seconds was.
Yep.
And so to let them know that, hey, you know, Peach here is thinking 60 seconds is getting close. So they have an idea of what that is. And the same thing you were saying about the pitcher, because it is completely umpire subjective as to whether or not she simulated taking that sign. You know, I could have it in my mind that if she does not pause 1.2359 seconds, then she did not simulate taking a sign. And you could have, I looked at it. I saw like that attempt at like feigning a spark of recognition and then going, and that seemed to be long enough. I could have seen 1-4-1 in that amount of time and, you know, gone, or like one and then a location with a hand gesture. Sure, that seems reasonable. And so anything like that where they have to know what you're thinking to communicate to them, hey, she's really close. You know, I've got her very close to not simulating taking a sign. I think that seems very reasonable.
Yeah, I think it's fair. I think it's, I think it'll get it done. It'll slow her down, mm-hmm. you know, and we won't have to call it, which I didn't like that in the referee manual to prevent you from having to call it later. It's like, No, to prevent her from doing it later. So yeah. When she does it live and in a game, you got to call it. If she's pitched illegally or if they've broken the time barrier, you got to call it.
You should never feel bad about enforcing the rule.
That's right.
You didn't make the rule. I mean, do you want me to feel bad about catching a pop fly?
Right.
Because that's in the rule too. And oh, doggone it, that girl got out. She probably feels bad about herself.
Yeah.
You know, no, we have to enforce the rules.
Enforce the rules. Yep, for sure. What's the next one, Pete?
Yeah, so then we'll just kind of jump through. So the next one was like warning about stepping out of the batter's box. You know, same kind of deal. We don't want to beat that dead horse. But how about, so this one, this one's where we get a little close. Helping with substitutions and re-entries and saying something like, number 12's going back in, just confirming she's re-entering legally. Being proactive avoids illegal substitutions, batting out of order, or appealable infractions later. So to you, umpire Trout, where do you draw the line here on helping, quote unquote, helping with substitutions and re-entries, or what's your role in preventive umpiring with regards to those things?
So this one's on the far right side for me. If we were on the far left hand for helping, mm-hmm. This one's on the far right hand of preventative umpiring. So we've got a dead ball situation. I got a coach coming out to me and wants to make a change on the lineup card. I'm going to make sure that change is legal. And if the coach tries to do something that's not legal, I'm not going to allow them. I'm going to prevent that from happening.
So in an example, you've come in and this is college and I have player number one is playing and I've substituted player number two. And then I've re-entered player number one. And then I come out to you later and say, number two is going in for number one.
No, she's not.
And she's so you done. Would not. So non-preventative umpiring would allow number two to trot out to the field, number one to go sit on the bench.
Yep.
And then you go, time.
Well, somebody had to point
it
out.
Oh, yeah. So yeah. Someone appeals it. And you go time and you go, yes, this player is in illegal substitution, penalties enforced all around.
Yeah, that'd be horrible. Don't do that. Yeah. The other thing, I even take it one step further in your scenario there for preventative umpiring, is that when they remove number two,
mm-hmm.
I actually tell the coach number two's done.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, yeah, that's right. I'm like, yeah, she's done. She's not coming back in, right? She's scratched. Mm-hmm. Because now, folks, this is college we're talking about.
Yeah, right.
About
I was
here.
About to say, yeah. Not to confuse anyone. Yeah, I specifically named a scenario that was specific to a specific area. That in high school, it is different, and two could come back in.
Yes, that's right. So in high school, every player has one reentry. In college, only the starters have one reentry. So when you put a substitute in off the bench for a college starter, when that substitute comes out, they cannot come back into the game again. So my preventative umpiring tells the coach, hey, she's done. And if the coach comes out later and says, hey, two's going back in, you're just like, no, she's not. Nope. And if she trots out there and stands on second base, Pete, is she out? You know, when we said, no, she's not. She's not going back in the game. She's not out yet. We're not done. We're not playing ball yet. It's like, mm-hmm. Get her off the bag and get her back in the dugout.
Cause yeah.
She's not in the game, coach. You know, that preventative umpiring right there, in my opinion, is definitely what you need to be doing. Do not let coaches make mistakes and errors on the lineup card. Now, different lineup cards. Well, what about batting out of order, David? Well, batting out of order is not a lineup card change, right? They sent the wrong player out to bat. They didn't tell anybody anything, and then it just happened.
Yep.
And it's like, well, yeah, I can't prevent that, and I'm not going to prevent that because I might even notice it. I might go, wait a minute, I had three slappers in a row last time, and now I've got one slapper, and now this big power hitter just showed up. I'm like, uh-oh, I don't think that's the right batter. But that's to me. That's inside my own brain.
Yeah.
That's me going, oh, no. You know, and that's me reviewing as part of my pre-pitch planning. And that's me reviewing, what is that rule about batting out of order? How am I going to enforce this?
Yeah, because in 2 seconds, if she gets on.
Yeah, here in just a little bit, I'm going to have a problem, right? So, but yeah, that would be really bad. That would be helping, you know, to say, hey, you're not in the lineup. Coach, are you entering her? It's like, no, you can't do that.
Right.
Don't do that.
And then I think a good place too to be involved in substitutions is almost anything having to do with DP flex.
Yes.
Because that it kind of comes to the same place, because it'd be something like the person wants to put, let's say the flex is the pitcher and they want to let the DP pitch and the flex has not gone somewhere else on the field. The flex is sitting there butt on the bench and through the substitutions and you're like, you know, to be clear, coach, the flex is out of the game and you've gone back down to 9.
That's right.
And then you say that to them and then if they go, yeah, that's right. okay, I'm cool. not going to sit there and keep badgering
right.
them. You realize that means, no. yeah. But yeah, just you say that. Let's clarify 100% what just happened. Let's check and balance
yep.
what you did because the DP flex can be so confusing to some people. Sometimes making 100% certain what just occurred, maybe as a byproduct of something that you did that may not have occurred to them.
That's right.
I preventatively, I think that's okay.
Yeah, for sure. And one of those, we talked a little bit before we hit record on the episode, but I had this situation happen to me in at a nationals event earlier in my career, and I've slept since then, so I don't remember the exact details, but I do remember that I was a base umpire, and the team in the first base dugout, I don't know if they were home or away, but they were in the first base dugout. They went in and made a change with the plate umpire because they didn't want their shortstop to play anymore and to play shortstop anymore anyway. And so they made a change that involved the DP and the flex. And they actually did something that caused the plate umpire to make adjustments to the lineup. And they were on defense, if I didn't mention that, right? So as long as the flex didn't come out of the game, you know, there was really no need to do any of that. And then when they got up on offense, they had screwed it up. And it's like, well, wait a minute. No, I just wanted her to play defense is all. And it's like, well, but you came to the plate umpire and you said, I'm putting her in for her. It's like, ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh. And then he wrote it on the card, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, ugh. So he could have very easily said, okay, it's a defensive change, coach. There's nothing.
You don't have to
do anything.
Yeah.
You know, we're not scratching the, you know, we're not removing the DP and putting the flex in, or, you know, we're not doing whatever it is they did to mess it up. So he could have prevented that problem the next mm-hmm. time. It would have been a very good example of that.
Yep. How about this one? Calming emotions during close plays. So something like, coach, I'll talk to you in a moment. Let's handle this first, giving them a second to cool off. Or players, keep it clean. Next comment and we'll have a problem. So where do you put yourself on that when people get chirpy or chippy?
Yeah, so coaches-wise, this one's really important. You must remain calm all the time. So remember that the coaches are passionate about making sure that their girls are treated fairly. And a lot of times, coaches can get heated and excited. And it's very easy to say, okay, coach, I hear you. You know, we're shoulder to shoulder now. Shout out to Jose, who's really, really, really good at this. So we're shoulder to shoulder now. We might even dance if the coach keeps trying to get in front of me. You know, we might dance to keep him shoulder to shoulder and say, hey, coach, we're just going to talk about this. You know, what's your question? You know, and we'll talk through it just to remain calm and whatnot. That's so that we're trying really hard not to pitch somebody, right? We don't want to throw coaches out of games and that kind of stuff. So first of all, I would say that is a bit of coaching and preventative umpiring and saying, hey, and I'm going to give you a really good example of how I coached and it still went bad about that. But and the other situation that you said was about girls, players chirping, mm-hmm. right? So yeah, there are times they get very passionate themselves, you know, with their opponents and, you know, somebody maybe tagged somebody a little too hard or something like that. And they can really start to get mouthy about it. And we have to be really careful. The threat of physical harm in the NCAA is an immediate ejection. So we're going to be doing an episode here in a little bit about softball ejections and suspensions and things like that. And rule 13.3.6 says making a verbal threat of harm to an umpire or an opponent results in an immediate ejection and additionally a 2-game suspension from the next 2 previously scheduled and played games. So they better be very careful about making threats of harm. You know, what is a threat of harm? I'll meet you in the parking lot. Sounds like a threat of harm to me. I'll punch you in the throat is definitely a threat, you know, so you'll have to figure out what those are. But hey, girl, I'll kick your ass. Sounds like a threat to me, you know.
Yeah.
So I think they have to be very careful.
But otherwise, if they just say things, depending on what they say, I feel like this comes with the guidelines we said a little bit earlier because that is somewhat your judgment, short of the threat to that level.
Right.
Giving them a warning that they are close to where your judgment is seems okay. So if they're just maybe a little argumentative with the girl, maybe they're like, you shut your mouth. You sit there, you worry more about your team or whatever they're saying. You might want to calm that down just so that it didn't escalate to what you were saying earlier about the violence.
Exactly that. So I did mention that before we do one more,
and
I think we're out of time, but I did mention that I was going to tell you about a situation that happened to me where I was coaching a coach to try to avoid a problem. And I had a coach pretty recently, late in a game, really wanted a out of the box on a slapper, you know, from the opponent. And all of the lines are way gone at this point. And in order to get an out of the box, you got to know that she
it's got to be the whole foot,
right?
It's got to be,
in NCAA, any part
of the foot. Oh, it's part of your foot,
However, where's the line? And if there is no line, it's like, well, was a quarter inch out, a half inch out, a 1 inch out. At what point are you not guessing anymore where it's clearly she's out, right? And I did not have the batter runner clearly out of the box when she hit. There was no way I could have had her clearly out. I would have been guessing.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the coach came out to ask me for it, those were the exact words that I used. I'm like, "Coach, I have to be darn sure that she was out. I can't guess that she was out. There are no lines here. She was not clearly out of the box, and so I'm not calling it." And I could tell she was looking over there where the batter had been.
Mm-hmm.
And all other left-handed batters had been in that game. Mm-hmm. And she's looking at something, and I'm like, "Don't go point at it, coach. Don't go." Here's the coaching part, right? Well, don't go over there and point at it. Don't point, coach. There's your warning, coach. So why? Some people might ask, why did she get a warning for that, right? That's, you're showing up somebody. It's like a batter drawing a line, you know, saying, here's where the ball was. It's like, no, you're not doing that. They're done, right? Mm-hmm. They were to do that. But the coach got a warning from me on it. And so it's like, because now it's definitely like a judgment thing, right? So I did not judge her clearly out of the box, and she's over there arguing with me.
She's questioning your judgment, not allowed.
I should have, and it's not allowed, right? So anyway, she got a warning.
Yeah, so then where do you put, so finally, as we wrap up, there's a suggestion here, again, from what was accumulated from the interns here, play conference expectations. So where do you put, there seems to be a lot of differences of opinion about this online as to what you actually communicate at the plate conference. What do you consider an okay amount of things to communicate from a preventative umpiring perspective at the plate conference? So not the things you're supposed to communicate, but any extras you might add. You know, some people will say things like, you know, this and this and this, and make sure you hustle the girls in and out, or one of those things. Or you say, we're going to do this. A reminder, balls and strikes are not to be, you know, argued, or anything else. What do you say is okay to include there, if anything, in your opinion?
For me, it's nothing. Mm-hmm. So the NCAA manual, the CCA manual for NCAA umpires clearly specifies what is to be included in the plate meeting. And so does the NFHS in high school. The NFHS, if I remember correctly, just, and I'm doing it from memory because we have to close this episode down, I'm not going to go look it up real quick, but it says any questions about the DP flex rule or any other confusing rules. So if there is something, and maybe the OHSAA said, hey, point of emphasis this year, make sure coaches understand this, or, you know, something like that, I think those could be included. Summer ball, depending on the coaches that I have and the teams that I have, if you know history of teams, you know, sometimes I've been known to remind coaches how to ask if they have a question, you know, mm-hmm. wait till there's a stoppage in play, ask me for time. Once I grant that time, you know, approach the umpire that made the call and ask your question. Sometimes I'll throw that in a pregame for USA softball, but I don't do that for high school.
What about a scenario like I've had in the past where there's a certain tournament in town, especially where some coaches are very aggressive, and perhaps the day before you had them and they were very aggressive, and now we get into this day. Is there any need to remind them that we're not going to have some of the things happen previously? You know, this is that reminder, these are ejectable offense, whatever it is. Is that, or is that just, you know what,
when it bygones happens, it happens. Bygones. Yeah. I think bygones be bygones. I'm grinning at you, Pete, because I remember the tournament you're talking about, and I think I was doing some UIC stuff in that tournament. Yep. Had to have some conversations, but yeah, hopefully the coaches realized their problem. I think they did in that case.
Even. They did. They came apologetic to the plate meeting.
Yeah, so there you go, at the plate meeting. It's like, yep. And so, okay, no problem, coach. That was yesterday. You know, we're good. Thanks. Let's get on. Because I know in my brain, especially if I'm the plate, man, I need to be concentrating on the next pitch, mm-hmm. you know, that's coming and doing my pre-pitch planning and stuff. I don't want to have a foggy, you know, spider web brain going on at the time that I'm supposed to be doing my job. So bygones be bygones. But anyway, to wrap up the answer to the question, I don't think anything beyond what the manual says you should. And that's what I say about that.
Excellent. So then that sounds like that's going to wrap up the episode.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
All right. Until then, next time.